Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running west.
It's still
running.
Recording in progress.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like a delicious chicken.
It was repot.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the world's number one sports and recreation podcast. I think that's what it's called. Welcome aboard, and it's very special because it's the special Mage from Dipperland Ranch 2.0 birthday edition episode of Cheap Heat. Happy birthday, Dip.
Thank you so much. We are many years removed now from my wrestling themed bar mitzvah. I'm 34.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
The bar mitzvah was a long, long time ago. And
it really was.
And I care so much about Dip's birthday that I'm actually releasing an album on his behalf just to celebrate the birthday.
A Midnight Mage Tonight, album, right?
I'm sorry, what was that, SGG?
Midnight Tonight, right?
That's right. If you're hearing this on Thursday, it's Midnight Tonight. Most likely when you're hearing this, it's already streaming everywhere. So go stream Real Late, the album, everywhere. I'm very, very excited. And guys, I have to jump off the podcast early today because I'm jumping on the show of the one half of SmackDown, Mr. Pat McAfee, today.
Woo!
What are your thoughts, Dip?
He's a great guy, clearly.
Do you hope now that I'm doing his show to promote my album, do you hope that he's the voice of SmackDown forever?
Yes, of course. Yeah. If someone's down with you, then you know I'm all in 100%. 1,000%.
Yeah, sure.
That's right.
Well, listen,
percentage right.
Listen, if you look at the WWE right now, he's one of the longest tenured commentary people they have. So but I guess we won't even have very much time to talk about the debut of Jimmy Smith, because yesterday, after a period, SGG, in which it doesn't feel like you could even get surprised anymore by cuts, we have to be surprised by the cuts.
Yes, we do. And I looked up, it was a staggering stat that I saw that, you know, WWE released over 70 people since WrestleMania. And this includes some cuts that we didn't even get to talk about last week, in Tom Phillips and the Velveteen Dream. I'm talking about the cuts from yesterday, which Braun Strowman, Santana Garrett, Ruby Riott, Buddy Murphy, Lana, and Aleister Black were also all released from WWE. Yeah. And like you said, at a time when, you know, not many of these cuts are shocking, this list was shocking.
I'm trying to decide what shocked me the most about this list. And how do we not...
A former Universal Champion was released, or the fact that a character who literally was repackaged and redebuted on the most recent episode of SmackDown was released.
See,
what is more shocking?
To me, Dipperstein won't agree with this because he's recently especially become such a big Braun fan. I mean, you've always liked Braun, but you've really been into Braun recently. But
If I'm having to choose wrestlers that are, quote, my favorite, the number one thing that wrestling, non-wrestling fans ask wrestling fans is, hey, who's your favorite wrestler now? I say, I always have to say now or back in the day. And they always say both. And I say Ultimate Warrior. And then you have to come up with an answer. You can't just say no one. And you can't say The Fiend. So you got to say Braun Strowman.
By the way, you could say The Fiend.
I know, but no one knows who that is. So I'm just saying based on the name.
Well, listen. So
that answer for me is always Braun Strowman.
So that's why I was going to say, given all of that, I know that you won't see this the way I do. But Braun was not the most surprising person on the list. to me. To me, it's Aleister Black. That to me is the number one surprise. And number two is actually Ruby Riott, not Braun, because I had a hunch for me that Braun was getting near the end with them. Like I don't know. I'm not saying that's right, but that's how I felt. I felt they'd kicked the can as many times as they were going to, and he cost a lot of money, and he's the kind of person they were going to move on from. I don't think they should.
That was the thing right there, that he cost a lot of money, because he did sign a contract that was supposed to go through 2023. So, you know, theoretically, he should have been there for a while.
So does that mean, by the way, that they now just get out of they bought him out of the deal? Is that how that would work?
Yeah,
I don't know how that would work, but he's
out of the deal. I assume so, yes. If he has a contract, they have to buy you out of the deal.
We haven't seen his contract, so there's we have no idea like what clauses are in there that allow them to just...
Well, one was in there that allowed him to be no more.
It's just crazy when you look at these releases and then you watch, you know, Raw, or you watch another, you watch something else, you watch NXT, you watch NXT UK, and the number of people that are just less mage than Braun Strowman and Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, Ruby Riott, and all these people. It's just shocking. I mean,
I know
we don't know the particulars and every waking detail of the contract status and the money they're making and the circumstances around each.
No, situation. We almost know nothing.
So, you know, it's we almost know nothing. And so we can't truly sit here and judge why these people were let go. We can only talk about it in a vacuum. And that is,
but yeah, you know, let's get this right out the way right now. We're just going to speculate.
Yeah, we can only look at it from our Mark perch.
Well, yeah, and it's about wrestling. It's just about who we liked and who we thought could be useful. And why, and the ones that are just like, it's just, listen, obviously something happened with Aleister Black. I'll just say that. There's no way that was the plan. The plan was not to run vignettes for weeks, have him interfere in a main event, have him set to be on TV the following week, and then fire him. That was not in the plans.
No. I mean, Aleister Black is so mage. He's going to have a long career in wrestling. Although I don't even know what to say. I'm very upset about it. The one that does not shock me is Buddy Murphy.
No. Even though I think he's mage, actually. I think Buddy Murphy's a star. I mean, I think not a star. I think he could be a really solid, long-term, high-level mid-card guy for a long time. I never understood why he never got more of a look, honestly.
Well, Santana Garrett is not the one that shocked you. I feel like she didn't even really get started.
Well, and because of that, I didn't even know anything about her. So I was like,
yeah.
Who's this? No disrespect. It's just on a list of people that I had relationships with on television or in real life. Yeah, that was the name. I was like, I don't.
But let's just say, we're not going to sit here on this podcast and talk about who should be fired, who should not be fired. Okay, that is not appropriate. But I'll just
say, think we were going down that road.
Yeah, well, I didn't. When did it seem like that we were? When did that seem?
Well, because I said there. You know, you watch you watch Raw and SmackDown, and you think about the people that had to go, or that were let go. And then you think to yourself, why? What are some of these people hanging around for?
Right, right.
Why sure. do they have some people? So, but it really is bizarre and shocking to me. And it was a very upsetting day, given that probably my two favorite people on the roster, Aleister Black and Braun Strowman, are no longer there.
Yeah, that was some happy birthday.
Really a crazy situation. Part of my recycling guy is here. And
well,
that's right, I do recycle.
What does he say about it all?
It's the truck of the cinch going down the street. I don't even know how it gets down the street. It's crazy town.
I think Braun could flip it. Is it flippable? Can Braun flip that truck?
It's amazing that they have the arm that grabs the truck, or that grabs the thing.
Lifts the whole thing. What the arm of the cinch?
Yeah. It's like they do a fallaway slam with.
Braun's character recently did not get what it deserved.
I agree.
The last thing that he really did was started having a full-blown human train gimmick and then spent an entire WrestleMania season just being called stupid, and that was the end.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the vibes.
That's just so, not it. He could be so much more.
I don't think
is next for Braun.
I don't remember a time. Please go back in history and think, especially you, SGG. When did they ever have a massively gigantic star on the roster just get fired or let go, like in the midst of a massive run, except Ultimate Warrior?
Bret Hart, I could think of. I could think of.
No, one. But Bret Hart's like contract was ending. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, no, Bret Hart's different.
He got ousted. Like it wasn't
But now that we know the story, the Bret story was at the, it was sort of at the climax point where it had to happen.
If you think about it, though, it happened for the same reason, right? Like he had a monster contract that they claimed they couldn't afford, and it was just huge, and he was huge. He was in the midst of an amazing run, but he had to go. Now, they did it, screw job aside, Bret Hart was done more diplomatically. You know, it was like contact WCW, see how much money you can get the most you can get, and then when the ink was dry on that contract, then the boot hit him.
That is true. That is true.
So, you know, guys know I stand Bret. So, you know, I'm being honest about the way they did that one. At least they let him get a bag before they did it. But Braun is just like, yeah, it's just shocking.
Here's the thing. Releases now, given how little star power there really is at the moment, hit different than they used to. When Bret Hart left WWE, there was 10,000 other stars in the company. Now you have someone like Braun Strowman, who's at the top of the card on any given day, looks like a wrestler. He looks incredible. He talks in a cool, you know, his mic's work is good. He looks cool in the ring. His character has evolved over the years, and he's gone. It hits different.
And how about this? I don't see the natural place where Braun Strowman goes. Like, I don't necessarily see him popping up on AEW.
Yeah, I don't think it's in wrestling, honestly.
Yeah, I bet AEW would think like, hey, it's one thing for us to sign legends, but signing a guy who's just really WWE, like, that's not what we want to do. A current WWE guy, unless there's someone there, you know,
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry did kind of help discover Braun Strowman, though. So that is interesting that, of course, Mark Henry signs with AEW. We find out this week. I found out, of course, in our group chat because Andrew Goldstein has not learned over the course of six years of a group chat. He has not learned that mid-pay-per-view, you don't just drop out of nowhere. Well, Mark Henry's All Elite, and then I have to seem like the bad guy. I have to, because Dipperstein won't even look. And even so, he'd be so disgusted, he wouldn't say anything. I have to be mean to my friend and be like, dude, what's going on? By the way, Natalie was like, you should boot him from the chat for a week. Just boot him. Don't even say anything. He's out. Just say if anyone else wants to try the same thing, you're out of the chat too.
I don't believe it.
What is the compulsion to do something
But SGG, when's he going to learn a lesson? When's he going to learn a lesson? How many times have we told him, you don't spoil mid-pay-per-view, you don't know what anyone's plans are?
In his defense, though, despite, you know, how much we love Mark Henry and everybody's personal relationships to him, it was one of the least interesting things that happened on the pay-per-view. It wasn't like...
Fair, and now I won't know, because I was too turned off, I didn't even want to watch the pay-per-view anymore. And of course, AEW does what they always do, which is like, here's the AEW surprise. On a pay-per-view, bring out an announcer and have him just go, ladies and gentlemen, so-and-so. I'm like,
right.
This is the only way you can surprise? What is their problem?
We have to have an argument about this because I would rather see Tony Schiavone announce somebody than see some corny graphic 3 weeks in advance.
Well, first of all, they've done.
But hold on, those are not the only two things. The vignettes and the graphics have their place, but Tony Schiavone.
No, the graphics are terrible. SGG, you can't argue that when WWE says coming up on Monday this week, and it's a graphic on Twitter that says The Rock returns. That's terrible. It is terrible.
But like, it's all on a spectrum.
And so, they're both on the bad side.
Exact. That's exactly my point.
They're so both.
If you're
bad.
Saying it's, if you're saying it's either this or that, then
yeah, yes. Dip. Come on,
Siobhan. Choose Shivani announcing, but there's so many different ways to do it.
Why
there's
not
run-ins?
Why
Sting
not?
Was perfect
on TV. Why not do a thing on TV where you just get an excuse for him to come out and do something? Why not have someone come out and talk about how they're stronger and no one's stronger than them in the whole AEW locker room? As a matter of fact, no one's stronger on planet Earth. I'm the strongest man in the world. And then Mark Henry just walks out. That took me 10 seconds.
And even... It could have even been like a pre-tape thing that they do if they don't want to rely on all these. Obviously, they're going to do it in the ring to get the pop of the crowd because this was the first time they had the live crowd. But even something like that could have worked
easy.
Versus just Shivani being in the ring and saying, oh, by the way, guess who's backstage?
And now I'm going to bring out another man. It's Sting! It's Sting! Sting!
All right, can we talk about the fact that Sting like wrestled the full wrestling match?
No. Well, yes, we can, because I didn't even realize that. But I do want to give love for a second also to Ruby Riott, who surprised me because, number one, she is just such a mage person that I'm sad to see her not there. And Ruby Riott was just, to me, she was one of the standard people you could count on. I'm not saying she's Luthez, okay? But Ruby Riott, you could count on an episode of Raw to give you a good match. A good match with a character that looked like something. She at least was her own thing. It's her real character. She's a real person. That's her real thing. And to me, it was just like, of all the people to get rid of, I don't know. It just seemed weird. That one just really took me by surprise. Lana, to some extent, I feel the same way about. While with Lana,
Lana, I saw a lot of growth and progression.
Now I feel really bad about that one. That hit different too.
But remember, she gets to reunite with her husband at least.
Yeah, but I feel really bad for her. I really do, because I like her. I think
that's the only reason.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I do. I think she's a great. First of all, she's a great guy. Secondly, I agree with SGG that she like really, really cared about it. Becoming, you know, a better performer and really took the time to, you know, come into her own as a superstar.
She did. She did, Lana.
Yeah, she really did.
She really did. That doc they did about her when everyone saw sort of her personal struggles.
It was amazing.
That was a really big opportunity that was missed. She was ready to become a star. And by the way, maybe it was never going to be in the ring. Maybe Lana should have been like a legitimate manager with a stable, you know, there were ways to utilize Lana. She is charismatic. She has a story that people relate to. She's beautiful. There's a million reasons why Lana could have worked. And I'm just, again, surprised. And she had a tough time. The last couple of years, all she did was basically eat tables for a living. And
it was like 8 weeks of going through the table.
And that's that.
Again, it made people invested in her, which is like, that's like she got over with just being a body to go through a table every Monday. People started to care about Lana.
So all of these people, Aleister Black, truly shocked by. He's going to be a big star. That's the one where I'm curious about the story. Braun, I feel like it's about money. Ruby, I don't know what it would be because I can't imagine her salary was that big. She certainly doesn't seem like she's difficult. I'm trying to figure it all out. So Dip, Sting, what was the Sting match from the pay-per-view, which I haven't watched yet?
It was Darby Allin and Sting versus, I don't even remember.
Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page?
Yes.
Wow, Stat Guy, stepping up.
Thank you. It was just really nice to see Sting throw those punches. You know, Sting doesn't punch with his forearms like all the rest of the superstars do now. Sting punches with his fists, which I love. If one more person comes out there and punches with their forearms,
you've had enough.
It's repug to me. Forearm punches are repug.
And when
Bret Hart never used the forearm to punch. Scott Hall never used the forearm to punch. You punch with your fist.
Give me a big example of who uses a forearm for the punch.
I'm trying to think. I'm coming up blank.
Seth Rollins.
You're saying his forearm hits the head, not the fist.
Yeah. Working punches, and I've you know, What I've told Corey Graves this many times, he's got one of the best working punches in the history of the game.
Yeah, I know. But I know you feel very strongly.
Very, very strongly about Corey Graves.
Now, Dip, you have to say all of this remembering what you learned over WrestleMania weekend.
Is that I know nothing.
You know absolutely nothing. So, but keep going, because we all know nothing. So let's all try.
This is for us. This is for
us. This is for us.
Sting did a cross body, out of the ring. He did some mage things, and he looked good. His body looked decent. His arms look a little, flabby and old. But
he is old.
Right. He's 60.
Gravity's going to get to all of us.
He's 62 years old. No, I have not seen anyone work like that. Flair, maybe. Backlund to some degree, but Sting is not, Undertaker is only 54, 55. Sting is 62 and he wrestled a full blown match and he looked great. So God bless. And I love him with Darby Allin too. God damn.
Well, you know what? That's a great example. I just pointed out the things that, AEW does wrong. Let me point out something they do right. Which is plenty. Here's something they just do right. Everyone wanted Sting and Darby Allin. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just do it. That's what everyone wanted. No one's going to complain. Everyone knows Darby's going to be a star. This just pushes it. You just put a rocket to his back, and the rocket's name is Sting. It's and by the way, it makes Sting more mage because he doesn't
name
of
the rocket.
It's Sting. It's the Sting rocket.
No, say it again. It's Sting.
Oh. That rocket's Sting! It's Sting! Sting! By the way, hot take. Want the hot take? Sting! Take Tony Schiavone. Bye-bye. Tom Phillips? Come on.
Yeah.
How do you like that for a scorching hot take? And by the way, and I'm sorry, I got bad news. You got to pick. It's JR or it's Tony. One of them is no longer ever sitting in the booth again because Tom Phillips is. That is the move I would make. He could improve one of their shows for sure. Maybe that's what they'll do on Rampage. Or make Rampage, Tom Phillips and Mark Henry, boom, good night, good luck. You have a legitimate, credible show. What are your T's?
I got to say, JR, we love JR. We respect him to death.
We love and respect
Tom,
JR.
Tom, you got to love people from afar.
Is that what you're about to say? You want SUG to do it? Because he'll send him off to pasture right now. He doesn't know JR.
No, he was saying some things that were just absolutely nonsensical on this pay-per-view. I mean, if you paid attention to some of the things that he said, he just couldn't even get some of the words out to. I feel terrible. I mean, I don't think he's focused up there.
JR is JR. There's not even a reason to need to give the accolades for how great he is.
Yeah.
But I've never quite understood. Like, the reason I just said it about Schiavone is simply because I can't bring myself to say it about JR. And Schiavone actually is in a much better place in his career than JR is. I don't see why JR is the only job for him. Is that the only job?
What else would it be?
Is that the one he wants, though? Maybe talent relations.
Yeah, just talent, just handling talent. That's what he does. And you bring him out every once in a while for an interview segment. I don't know. By the way, they're messy with that. Their booth is something that's messy. Why is Taz now back in the booth?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
What does that mean? Like, can they pick who the two or three people are and that's it for one show? Like,
I know.
I think with AEW, is just they say yes to a lot. Like, if somebody comes to them and is like, this is what I want to do creatively, they immediately go into how can we make this happen before sitting back and evaluating, is this a thing we should do? And maybe just be like, no, we're not going to do that.
I think, I also feel like that AEW, it needs to start to feel a little bigger. It needs to start to, it feels a little small still.
Really? Tell me if this feels small, Dip. Tell me.
Go live on TNT tonight with AEW Dynamite at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I introduce to you the CEO, the owner, the president of All Elite Wrestling and the Forbidden Door, Mr. Tony Khan.
Thank you very much, Tony. I appreciate it, Mr. Schiavone. And as we get ready to go live tonight on Dynamite on TNT, I just wanted to address, as the Forbidden Door, I read in the Observer today that New Japan Pro Wrestling apparently has had talks with WWE's president, Nick Khan. Well, Nick, I have to say, if you've been talking to New Japan Pro Wrestling for 2 months, you've gotten a lot done. But just in the last 2 weeks, I've had Yuji Nagata, Ren Narita, and Rocky Romero on AEW. I've reunited Roppongi Vice. I've had the New Japan IWGP US Champion Jon Moxley defend the title successfully on our show, retaining it. And I have future plans with New Japan Pro Wrestling for the US title. So you must have really gotten a lot done in the 2 months, Nick. In fact, I think there's only room for one Khan in the wrestling business, Nick. And it's me, it's Tony Khan. It's not some con man from Connecticut. Have a fun show tonight, Nick. See you on Dynamite.
Who doesn't love a good panic promo, though? I mean, let's be honest.
That was abhorrent. I gotta be honest.
There's so much.
We didn't even talk about the New Japan WWE thing.
No. And why would we? I mean, I'm not saying it's not relevant. It's cool, but like that, there's so many things to focus on there.
But it has to happen first.
Yeah, I don't care if they talk. We'll see if something cool happens. But
exactly.
By the way, that's not going to help ratings or any of the major problems of the day. But it's something
neat. But it'll be fun for the fans.
No, it could be fun for the fans.
The business side will suffer, but it'll be fun for the fans.
But let me just say this. The biggest takeaway that I have, besides the fact that I was listening to Mike Mansouri's podcast. What's it called? Greatest Wrestling Podcast?
Yeah.
Period.
I was listening to...
It might be ending, if I'm not mistaken, unfortunately.
Oh, well, because he stopped working with Pat?
I believe so.
I don't know if the podcast
he
ended.
Did?
Yeah, he left Pat. He left Pat to pursue his own ventures. But let me just say this. They were talking about on that podcast how Tony Khan is clearly angling towards becoming a character. So, number one, no. You need a lot of work. Right. I mean, you are nowhere near being ready to come out and talk. And number two, the nerdy, bullish jargon that he just used about how great the things he did was... that is the reason if ultimately things blow up and don't work for AEW, remember that you just got an insight into how big of an M word Tony Khan is. That was psychosis, we've been saying from the beginning though.
We've been saying this from the beginning that they cater too much to like the niche nerdy internet fan, and they're not thinking big enough, even though they have the money and the pockets and the
I got Roppongi Vice to back together. All right.
Yeah, who cares? It's not Okada.
I know, dude.
Roppongi Vice is a dope tag team. They're from New Japan.
I'll take your word for it. And guess what?
They have great theme. The theme music is top tier, legendary. Roppongi Vice is mage.
Okay, I'm sure that's true. What percentage of wrestling fans? What percentage know who Roppongi Vice is?
That's the thing right there, though.
That under 1%. Right,
I wouldn't say
1%.
I'd say like
under
five.
One. No.
I'd say like five. I'd say like five.
No, not five. No. Five is huge. Five's huge. No way five know who Roppongi Vice is.
Because you got to remember, though, like New Japan has a huge percentage of wrestling fans. So whatever that is, plus the ROH fan base and like.
Let me rephrase it. Take the audience that watches Dynamite, Raw and SmackDown every week. Of those three shows, 5% does not know Roppongi Vice.
No, and especially I don't even think Roppongi Vice ended up on Dynamite. So it's you got to watch Dark to get to RPG Vice, which then it's 0% really, because who's watching
Roppongi
Dark?
Vice Repug promo? That's what it was.
Can I just say something,
Rocky? I love you. No, this is Rosenberg and Dip.
let me just say something real quick. If the Young Bucks want to mock Roman Reigns, or they want to like do quick, like little subtle hints, like they used to be at the other place, or say things like that on AEW, fine. But what Tony Khan did was so small time.
So small time.
That like, it was the most cringeworthy thing I think.
His opening line was, I was reading The Observer. I read today in The Observer.
I know. I don't even know. I have nothing clever to even say about this because to me it was so preposterous. It's so bad, dude.
I'm telling you right now, we are sitting on the precipice of something amazing.
Don't you think Jericho was repulsed by that? I'm sure.
No, you know what? I don't know.
Jericho is deep. Face.
And Jericho is deep in it. Jericho cares about all that crap too.
He's a company man though. Like even if he was repulsed by it, it wouldn't be a thing that he would ever say until he's somewhere.
All right. Sorry.
And listen, what I was going to say was, and this is not a diss to Rocky Romero or any of the people that were mentioned there, okay, at all. Obviously, they're all important in their own right, and maybe one day will be big superstars. But they are on the precipice of having an opportunity to really shake things up. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, they are one major signing away from this thing being a lot more interesting than someone like myself would even care for it to be. That is how I feel. They are also one shark jumping moment away from it starting down a path that is not what you want. And we're going to see which direction they go. But they're adding way too much talent. They're adding another show. They have a promoter who thinks he can come out now and act like Vince McMahon and start dissing Nick Khan. He couldn't even nail the, there's only one room for Khan, and it's me. I'm the Khan. I'm the Khan. Tony Khan. I'm the Khan that I was talking about was me. Tony Khan. Me. So like they're just sitting in this position where it's all there. They have a huge opportunity if they make the right decisions. But man, that worried me. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was very worrisome.
That was a worrisome moment.
That AEW has in their back pocket that, you know, I don't know how far it's going to get them. But for the time being, their fan base is a major shield because, you know, if this happened to WWE or like NXT or something like that, we'd rip them. It would be a universally, they would be shredded everywhere. But with AEW, their fan base is rabid.
And well, they're loyal.
Them from a lot of, so it's going to keep them. That is going to keep them afloat for a lot longer than they should be around doing things like this.
Well, maybe they'll learn not to do it. But the only downside of that is, first of all, they earned their loyal fan base, right? Because they give that fan base very often
exactly
what they want. So they earned a loyal fan base. And right now, WWE is in a tough spot because their fan base is often upset because they're losing people that they love. So it's a tenuous time in that regard. But so that shield, you're right, SGG, they do have that. But that shield will not last forever. So they got to start doing the right things. How was the pay-per-view overall? Because they're coming off of a rough pay-per-view ending a few months ago. They're coming off of that rough cell match with the terrible Jericho bump. They've come off of a couple of rough moments where people generally satisfied with the pay-per-view? Because again, Andrew Goldstein ruined it for me.
Dip can more accurately answer this because he probably sat through the whole thing. But from what I've been seeing, it got mixed reviews, but more positive than negative.
It was, yeah. I mean, look, the wrestling itself, like I've said for weeks and weeks, for a year now, the wrestling itself is top, top notch. There's, you know, momentum in the ring and storytelling in the ring that is going on that you just don't see anywhere else. You know, as far as, you know, that Young Bucks match, I mean, it was one of the best matches I've ever, I mean, it was one of the best matches I've ever seen. You know, the Sting match was interesting. The gimmick matches were good too. It was a good pay-per-view for sure. The wrestling hits different, but it's not.
That's your new catchphrase.
And again,
it leans very hard into hits different.
I don't think that it needs. I don't think I. It's like at one time. It's like I have such mixed feelings right now. It's like
unpack them.
It doesn't seem to be progressing at all. But But I don't want it to progress too fast either. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm like caught in between my feelings of it still feels really small, but that's still like the beauty of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
That makes sense. Because you hit the nail on the head too. You definitely don't want them to progress too fast because, and I feel like they're running into that because, you know, Rampage is what, a fourth show for them?
It's a terrible mistake.
And it's clearly them building content for something greater, but, you know, do they have the talent to fill all that time?
I'm worried about
Rampage. What's it going to make them look like?
It took Vince McMahon 25 years to get on television and become a character for WWE. Tony Khan can't all of a sudden become a character tomorrow. Now, I'm always yearning for authority figures and like storylines that are above even the A storyline.
You're yearning.
I'm yearning and yearning up a storm. Now, AEW has like six of those, you know? So it's like,
Khan should have been more Jack Tunney than Vince McMahon. Like when something is so egregious, he pops up and is just like, hold on.
Forbidden Door, like a vault. Yeah. But then Cody also seems to be the Forbidden Door as well. And like Kenny Omega is like the wrestler Forbidden Door. There's forbidden. It's forbidden.
Too many doors.
it's forbidden up a storm.
There's so much forbidden things.
I also listen. Okay. Let me admit it. Let me own it. It was a rough week for WWE, and I am a WWE guy, and I am spending this week crushing AEW. Is there something to that? I think that's fair. That would be a fair criticism.
There's something to that though, because I have these conversations with you offline. Where like.
Well, no, I've had.
You seem to be very fair and like.
I've been
your assessment of.
Things. I've always been fair. Everyone who listens, our real listeners, all know that. It's only people who never listen online who say that I'm a shill. I'm always fair. You know, I may soften the blow a little bit sometimes with WWE because that's just human logic. But AEW, I've been very high on at times. I bought a lot of pay per views from AEW. But this concern for me, to Dip's point. It's doing too much. Just don't do too much. And evidence suggests, based on the emergence of Tony Khan on television and them announcing a new weekly Friday night show, evidence suggests they're doing too much. And this is a worrisome time. That's all. So we'll see. But I already kind of have not been able to keep up anymore with who people are. There's so many factions and so much new talent. By the way, we got to give kudos to Britt Baker, though. That's something that makes sense. Like,
there's something going on there.
Let's let Britt Baker become the star that she is. I mean, she's shown already how much she connects with people. So good for Britt Baker. What else, guys, is going on besides the fact that my album Real Late is available starting Thursday night, Friday morning at midnight.
An incredible album too, by the way.
Thank you.
I can't say that enough. I really can't. I'm excited for people to listen to this. Hear it, you know, if you love hip hop, you love rap, and you don't love this album, you really have to sit down and
ask some questions,
do some soul searching.
Did you catch the there are a couple of wrestling references throughout the album
on the track list. I saw one of the songs.
It's actually on that song. You're talking about Snake Eyes, aren't you?
Yeah, I am talking about Snake Eyes.
And it's actually on Snake Eyes. That's where the best wrestling reference takes place. Here, let me give you guys a little taste here. Let's see if this works. Then watch Flair put Iron Sheik in the figure four. I mean, that's a real
right out the gate.
Okay.
I wonder whether he did that specifically to pop me or not, or if it just organically happened. I don't know.
That was Bed Bath.
We don't need to know. It's just Mage.
Shout out to Ghostface. Can't believe
the whole
album
is Mage. Honestly,
I don't know. I don't know.
Ghostface rocked the big gold belt in a video too. So his wrestling pedigree probably goes.
It's a great point.
Deep.
Question for you. I don't know Ghostface. Is he a great guy?
Oh, he's a great.
Seems like a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's the real deal. He's
Mr.
the
killer.
He's the genuine. Article. I just mean in terms of being a character. Someone asked me this week, and I get asked this a little bit too much, to be honest, but I understand why people ask. How are wrestling and hip-hop the same? Like, I get that. That's like a very regular standard issue Peter Rosenberg question. And I will say, the number one thing is that the best ones are really that character just turned up slightly. That's true of hip hop, and that's true of wrestling. Like the artists, there are really popular artists who are faking it for sure, and they're popular. But the best, I think, really are. They can only turn it off so much. I mean, Ric Flair is Ric Flair.
Yeah, all the time.
Like, yes, it's turned up. He's not a mean guy in real life, et cetera, you know, like when he was a bad guy in wrestling. But he is
Jeff
that guy.
Flying limousine riding and all that.
But he was Jeff flying in limousine, confirmed. And it's the same Ghostface.
All the cash talk was real.
Yeah, he was wasting every.
There was a lot of cash talk.
He was wasting and wasting.
The man was.
Memories are priceless, though, P. The memories are priceless.
Oh, tell me about it. Listen, the bar hangout a few weeks ago, you know who had the tab? The Nate. World
champ? Did Roman Reigns pay the tab?
No, that was the Nate. That was the Nate.
Anybody even offered to split it with Nate?
Started out, I don't know, I was gone. By the time the bill came, I was gone, but he insisted. He insisted. So
how much was the bill, out of curiosity?
Well, I mean, it started out just us, and then you add, and then here comes The Miz, and here comes Booker, and here comes JBL, and now there's Michael Hayes, and now there's this one. So before you know it, there might have been 8-9 people drinking on the tab.
It's criminal that Miz let Nate pick up the tab.
Now listen, I wasn't there at the end. Maybe Miz
picked up.
Maybe
Miz.
Maybe Miz did it.
You think maybe?
That's true. Maybe Miz did.
Maybe Miz picked up the tab. I'm not the guy to pick up the tab.
No.
I don't think that's even appropriate. I think that's overstepping.
You pay, haven't you paid the least dues out of all? I mean, you're a champion.
You know, it's a good, true. But I am. I am a champion. So you have you're to think. Champion, about, so. Yeah. So yeah. And actually,
who there wasn't a champion? They should have picked up the tab.
You know, Jerry there. You know, the King Walter should have picked up the tab. You know who picks up the tab at the WrestleMania bar?
Dipper Steve.
Dip Flair.
That's right. Unless he accidentally leaves without paying his tab.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry. I gave him a $20 chip the next day.
It happens to the best. Listen, trust me. You're not the first Flair who's forgotten to pay the tab when they walk off and go to bed. Okay. That's what a night is like at the bar. What else do we need to get to? We talked about the terrible losses this week of talent. We talked about the AEW pay-per-view. Guys, I believe it's Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley at Hell in a Cell. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I thought they had the perfect setup to pivot to something different. Would have loved to see Kofi and Bobby Lashley go at it. Kofi already beat Bobby Lashley on TV. So, you know, there was some reason for him to be in the match, but okay, you know, Drew Lashley one more time. Let's do it, I guess. Okay, fine.
Where are we going to go after this? And by the way, I believe it's been confirmed now that SummerSlam is on a Saturday.
Yes, it has been confirmed. The location still has not been confirmed. Las Vegas is a big rumored location.
I think it's Vegas.
I think so
but
too.
There are a lot of rumors around this SummerSlam. They Cardi B's up is the theme, one of the themes, and there's rumors that she's going to be hosting.
That would be made.
That's very excited. By the way, that rumor is very much out there.
How's your Cardi relationship these days, Peter Rosenberg?
I don't have much of a Cardi relationship besides.
I thought you did.
Oh no, just like a hi. Like I don't.
Well, hi.
I asked her about wrestling. You know, in our interview, we have a friendly rapport, but. I don't know Cardi like that.
You already know.
Well, it should go through the moon for SummerSlam if she's involved. Oh, if she's more involved than just the theme song.
Dip, put in a call. Get me involved with Cardi B if that's happening. Okay, I should
you
be doing
and Cardi.
I should be doing something.
Do SummerSlam together and then fly on the same private jet back for Summer Jam
right
the next day.
Cardi
not, going on sale for Summer Jam.
Ticket. I forget when tickets are on sale, but. It's August 22nd, MetLife Stadium. Mage confirmed.
Well, very excited to hear you guys giving away tickets, even though I couldn't call in and win any. But
no, it's
shout
back
out to Ebro.
It's definitely back. Summer Jam is definitely back, and it's the same weekend. Which, by the way, how mage would it be if SummerSlam ended up somehow in New York?
Oh my God, I would love that.
SummerSlam was Sunday, and SummerSlam was Saturday, and Summer Jam was Sunday. You want to talk about a weekend? My God.
The weekend, truly the weekend of the century.
Yeah, yes. It would be the definitive summer weekend of the millennium.
If you regained the 24/7 championship.
I'll tell you what, it would be mage. If I won the 24/7 championship at SummerSlam and then brought it out at Summer Jam. Now we're on to something, SGG. So this week, Dip, there was a ton of email about, and SGG got disconnected, but he'll be back. There was a ton of mail, and you weren't here for the conversation last week about the Patreon of it all.
About what?
The Patreon of it all.
No, I wasn't.
But there's a lot of emails, a lot. And I think I'm not making it official, but I think I have to go back on what I said. I had said I really don't want to do Patreon where it's like we do free episodes and then we're always telling everyone like, oh, just make sure you sign up for Patreon. Like, it just gets annoying. Maybe we should just go full-blown Patreon. I heard from enough people, and I'm someone who listens to the Peckerheads. The way to go is the show is generally free, but there are serious incentives to do Patreon. We're not going to talk about it constantly. People will know. It could be as simple as a drop. People suggested this in the mailbag. A lot of people said, have even a drop that we play a couple times during the show that's funny that mentions Patreon. Oh, Patreon's a great guy. You know, it could be anything.
Confirmed. I love that drop. That's Mage.
Yeah, so we could come up with something. We don't have to constantly be telling, oh, make sure you sign up for Patreon if you want to do this and you want to do that. Listen, Patreon's preferred, but the fact of the matter is, even though it, on some level, it frustrates me that people don't want to pay for podcasting, I understand, because guess what? I don't pay for any podcasts currently. So who am I to sit here and tell people, how dare you not want to pay for something you've always gotten for free? I understand it. So with that being said, I think the angle is we keep the show free with Patreon being the big incentive. Now, maybe it's three free episodes a month and the fourth is Patreon. I don't know what that angle is yet. But that's where I'm leaning.
Let me just cut a quick promo here to say.
Go ahead. This is big. This is important.
Stop yourself. Okay? I am officially going to say right now that we are about to enter a new era of the show.
Wow.
In which we will potentially partially be on Patreon. We will also hopefully be announcing a new partnership in some capacity.
Potential.
Where, you know, put some money in our pocket and we'll have a great time. In your pocket, not my pocket.
Well, money in my pocket is money in your pocket.
Yeah, 100%. Well,
money in my pocket is money in your pocket of Jay's.
Confirmed. did you get any of those in the mailbag?
I have not really gotten a lot of a Jace, exact a Jace.
That disappoints me.
No, but well, I got to tell you though. I mean, if I were to show you the Patreon emails, they're going and going, and it's Patreon.
People are going and going at the Patreon.
Oh,
I'll put it this way. We're about to enter the most exciting era of Cheap Heat ever. Okay. I can definitively tell you as the agent and the person basically controlling the situation, we are about to enter the most Mage era yet.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Filled with bonus content, filled with one-on-one conversations. I mean, we Peckerheads are going to have access like never before.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited for the Discord of it all. Dip, do you even know what Discord is?
I know it, Jace. And all of this will culminate in some sort of Royal Rumble 1990 watch-along with World Rumble at Dipperstein Towers 2.0.
Talk about the ultimate. That's the ultimate Patreon. So should we have a tier of Patreon where if you pay like $49 a month, you're going to Dip's house for the party?
100%. Why not?
The highest tier Patreon people are invited. That's a Mage idea.
By the way, that's happening. For sure. We'll use the money that we make off the $49.99 a month to book Barbarian
and Warlord.
And feed them wings and you know.
Oh my gosh, like that's a great idea. The highest level Patreon tier gets you to Dipperland Ranch 2.0. Wow.
I mean, there's something going on.
Yeah, no, there's something going on. I really do appreciate it. So I have not responded to every email. I haven't gotten to read everyone yet. Like I said, it's an endless amount of emails about Patreon. And listen, this is an honest things like Calvin who wrote, and this is honest. I know it's only a buck or a little more than that per episode, but I would lean towards no longer being a Peckerhead if Cheap Heat went to Patreon. There's just so much content that I can get for free when it comes to wrestling pods, and I don't have hardly any disposable income. That's where I'm coming from, Pete. By the way, I love the wrestling talk. It's so fun, especially dip weeks. But you lose me when it comes to anything hip-hop related. Just not my bag. Stay Mage. Well, listen, Calvin, how about this?
He seems like a great guy, Ajay.
You seem like a great guy, Ajay. Yeah, no, he hates hip hop, but he's a great guy. I can't get rid of the hip hop talk, but I can work with you on the Patreon thing, because I also understand that there are a lot of people where, yeah, even just a few bucks a month, it adds up. It's people don't have disposable income. I get it. So thank you, everyone. There will be an announcement soon. I hope that everyone who can afford $5 a month will do the Patreon, and we'll have the Jew World Order Discord chat, and we'll do the extra episodes and the interviews and things like that, watch alongs and things of that nature. But for those who can't, we are going to keep bringing you cheap heat. So I don't know in what capacity yet, but I did decide we are not going to go full-fledged paywall. And that comes from me hearing what the people have to say. I should be running for mayor of New York with leadership like this. Let's be honest. That's the kind of leadership you want to hear.
I would be a great campaign manager, by the way.
Oh, you're camp. By the way, you're my campaign manager, Jace.
Confirmed. Of course.
All right, I gotta go. I have another radio show to do. Please go stream the Real Late album. If you have friends that are into hip hop, maybe you have friends that are into hip hop, but they're not into wrestling. And you're into wrestling, but you're not into hip hop. Tell the hip hop friends, hey, you know, the guy I listened to his podcast, he says he's doing a rap album. I don't know anything about it, but he says it's going to be great. Go listen to Real Late, the Peter Rosenberg album. All those streams mean a lot, and I appreciate it. Dip, do me a favor. Stay mage and happy birthday.
Thank you. Stay mage.
It's professional wrestling.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.